Let's go to a very, very quick voice note. Let's just hear what we are saying. But actually, no, let's go to our correspondent at Deutsche Welle, waving me, of course, here, Johannes. But Rob Watts, our correspondent at Deutsche Welle in Berlin, joins me now. Good day, Rob. How are things there?
Hi, Lester. Nice to see you.
You've sent us a great shot of the the Berlin City Center there. Is that the Brandenburg Gates that we're seeing?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you can. It's a lovely day here. You mentioned something, by the way, when you were talking about the weather outside. Did you say Devil's Feet?
Devil's Peak. Right next door to Table Mountain is Devil's Peak. Table Mountain is a sandwich between Lion's Head and Devil's Peak.
Yeah. So don't worry. You're painting an equally beautiful picture for me there.
Next week, we'll set up a shot for you. But we're talking about the to and fro's of diplomatic tensions, but also the opening up of countries when it comes to COVID-19. There's been some developments this week in travel between the EU, the UK, and the US. It's been a source of both relief and frustration. Britain announcing that it's allowing people who are vaccinated into the EU and the US to visit without having to quarantine. This is good news for people who want to travel in and out of that region.
Yeah, it is. The key change here is that the British policy at the moment is that if you arrive from the United States or from the EU, even if you're fully vaccinated, you still need to go into 10 days of quarantine. But the key change that's happening on Monday is that Britain is essentially going to recognize vaccinations that have been carried out in the United States or in the EU as, you know, legitimate, as equal to if you've been vaccinated in the UK itself. And that means people can visit the UK from the US and from the EU so long as they're fully vaccinated without having to quarantine anymore. And that is, yeah, really good news for example, British people who are living in the States or living in the European Union who've not been able to travel back to see their families. I'm one of those, actually. I've not been able to get back to see my family for a year because the quarantine requirement there is so prohibitive. But now that will change from Monday, which means all these people can go back and visit. It's also good news for the British tourism sector. They're very happy that they're going to have Americans and Europeans turning up now, spending their dollars and their euros in Britain. But it's not been universally welcomed, it has to be said. There is a fear of new virus variants being brought into the UK by people from the EU and from the United States. And actually, that's one of the concerns of the Welsh government, which, you know, has approved this change, but it is worried about virus variants. And it says the reason we approved the change anyway is that, you know, we have this open border with England, and upholding another policy to England would just be unworkable. But really, they're not thrilled about it.
I know that this is a decision that affects the EU and the US. France isn't excluded, is excluded from this change. I'd like to know why, and also from a South African point of view, any discussion on when South Africa, which is still considered to be on a red list of many countries, when that will be open to other countries as well?
Well, actually, South Africa comes into the reason why France is excluded from this change in Britain. And it's because of the presence of the Beta variant, which you're well acquainted with in South Africa, of course. It was making up a growing proportion of cases in France when this announcement was first made. But what the French point out, because they're really annoyed about this, is that the only parts of France where the Beta variant is dominant are the overseas territories. For example, La Réunion, the island in the Indian Ocean, which is, you know, some 9,000 kilometers away from Paris. And still that's playing a part in whether French people can travel to Britain. But La Réunion is as much a part of France as Marseille and Lyon. It's just a lot further away. And, you know, the British government, the British foreign minister has said that the main point is that you can travel pretty easily between La Réunion and mainland France, and then you could potentially be bringing the Beta variant into Britain. But I've got to say, it is looking like Britain will change its mind about this exception sometime in the next couple of weeks, because the proportion of beta variant cases is falling. As for South Africa and anywhere really outside of the United States and the UK wanting to come to the EU, you know, it's not looking immediately on the cards that they're going to be able to do that. There's a few things getting in the way. For example, there are certain vaccines that are being given out in other countries that the EU isn't ready to recognize yet, including versions of the AstraZeneca vaccine that have been produced in India. I know you're not I don't think you're administering AstraZeneca in
South
Africa.
We are administering Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, there's now a precedent for the EU accepting both of those, but you know, it's still trying to work on countries with high vaccination rates, allowing them in first, and then unfortunately, other countries are lower down the priority list. And I know, having spoken to people all over the world about this, that there's a lot of frustration about that.
But the question now is, and when we talk about diplomacy and geopolitics, is reciprocity. The EU and the UK are now allowing vaccinated Americans to visit. Is the US going to do the same?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question that's being asked in London and in Brussels. It's particularly being asked in Brussels. A lot of people in the European Union seem to be a little bit annoyed that the US announced this week that it wasn't planning anytime soon to return the favor and to allow Europeans and Brits to travel to the United States without quarantine or you know, or pretty much at all. They don't really want them traveling there at all, because you've got to bear in mind the EU changed its policy on that and has been allowing Americans in some 5-6 weeks ago, almost immediately after Joe Biden finished his visit to Europe. So, yeah, they're frustrated that that change hasn't happened. They're not in the mood for a war of words over this, clearly, because the EU and the United States are still trying to repair relations after the Trump administration, where they hit a real low. And also, for now, the Europeans are happy to just take the American tourists and take advantage of the money that they're bringing in. But if it persists for an awful long time, it could start to be a pinch point between them.
And finally, Britain is going through what has been called a pingdemic, where so many people have been told to isolate because of the track and trace phone application that we also have here in South Africa. But because so many people are pinged because of possible infection or possible contact, they are actually suffering from staff shortages.
Yeah, do you call it pinging in South Africa, or shall I explain what that is? It seems a peculiarly sort of British thing.
Well, we'll just call it a notification. We got a notification of a contact, of a close.
That's
contact.
Right. Yeah, and this week, actually, the number of people who have been pinged, who've been told they've got to self-isolate by the app in Britain, has hit a record high. It's getting on for 700,000 people. My mum is one of them, who is not allowed to go to work. And it's a real problem for industries where they require their staff to be on site, where they can't work from home. We're talking about, you know, the hospitality sector, about supermarkets. You know, there are reports of bosses telling their staff to just turn the app off when they're at work, or all the time if they can, just to avoid being pinged and not being able to come into work. And it's the same for, you know, bar staff are turning the app off voluntarily themselves, because they don't want to miss out on the shifts, because if they don't go to the shifts, often they won't get paid. And we're seeing real problems in supermarkets. There aren't enough people to stack the shelves. Councils are saying they don't have enough workers to carry out basic services. So the government is slowly working its way through, trying to come up with exemptions for. So far, it's only really got through the public, the public sector, but not onto the private sector. But there's a lot of pressure to allow people to take regular tests, daily tests, provided they're vaccinated, and therefore not have to go into the self-isolation. But the number of people being pinged is currently only rising, and the problems it's causing aren't going away.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for joining us.